In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. John the Baptist, when he saw our Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Then he said, "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And I saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So may we ask ourselves why our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. Of course, there are many answers to this question, like in order to fulfill all the righteousness on our behalf. As the Lord said to John the Baptist, we ought to fulfill all righteousness. But I will take the answer of John the Baptist when he said, in order to be revealed to Israel, in order to be revealed. And he said, "I did not know him, but he who sent me said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Holy Spirit is descending and remaining, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And here, we should know many points. Number one, that theology, which is learning about God, is not done by studying or speculation, but theology is done by revelation in order to be revealed. John the Baptist did not make speculation about the person of Jesus, and then he tried to find out whether he is the Messiah or not. But as he said twice, "I did not know him, but he who sent me told me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." So, revelation is how we do theology. Whatever is revealed to us, then that is the truth. Whatever hidden from us, then God doesn't want to reveal it to us. But many times, we interfere with the revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I thank you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the prudent and understanding, and you have revealed them to the babes." Which means sometimes when we rely on our understanding, on the human wisdom, this will be like a block, a barrier to revelation. But when you approach God with a heart of a child, innocent heart, pure heart, humble heart, then God will reveal his mysteries to us. As the Lord said to Peter, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So he said to Peter, when you say, "I am Christ, the Son of the living God," it's not human finding. No, it is heavenly and divine revelation. My heavenly Father revealed this to you. That's why God sent John the Baptist in order to baptize. in order to reveal the person of Jesus Christ, who is he to the whole world. And that's why this feast, sometimes we call it Theophany, and sometimes we call it Epiphany. And maybe we don't understand what's the difference between Theophany and Epiphany. Phania means manifestation or revelation. Theo means God. So when we say Theophania or Theophany, means the manifestation of God or manifestation of revelation of God. Because on this day, actually, the Holy Trinity was revealed to us, was manifested to us. The Father speaking from heaven, the Son in the waters of the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descending and alighting and remaining on the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what the word Epiphania means? Phania also means manifestation or revelation. Epi means from above. Like we call this epiderm. So epi means from above. So it is the revelation from above. And when we speak about Epiphania, the Epiphania are seven feasts, seven manifestations that God manifested himself to us. From heaven, he manifested himself to us. These seven feasts are Annunciation, Nativity, Circumcision, Presentation to the Temple, Flight to Egypt, Theophania, and Transforming the Water into Wine at the Wedding of Cana of Galilee. So these seven feasts, we call them the Feasts of Epiphania, because there is a certain manifestation in each feast. So the seven feasts are Annunciation, Nativity, Circumcision, Presentation to the Temple, Flight or Escape to Egypt, Theophany, and the First Miracle, which we'll celebrate it after tomorrow, on Saturday, God willing. Today, God is revealed, so Jesus Christ was revealed as or manifested to us as the Son of God. Son of God. As you heard the last verse, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. On Nativity, he was manifested to us as the Son of Man. So Nativity, Jesus was manifested to us as Son of Man. And today, he is manifested to us as Son of God. In Circumcision, his humanity was manifested to us. He is perfect human. And in the first miracle, when he transformed water into wine, his divinity was manifested to us. He is perfect divine. So now we have four manifestations. He was manifested as Son of Man and as a perfect human, and as Son of God and perfectly divine. In the presentation to the temple, he was manifested to the Jews. When Simeon the elder and Anna the prophetess carried him. And when he went to Egypt, he was manifested to the Gentiles. So now we have six manifestations. He was manifested as Son of God in Theophany, as Son of Man in Nativity, as perfect human in his circumcision, as perfect divine in his first miracle when he transformed water into genuine wine. He was manifested to the Jews when they presented him to the temple and to the Gentiles when he went to Egypt. But what was manifested here? He was manifested as the Savior of the whole world. And this is in the Annunciation, when Archangel Gabriel said to Saint Mary, and you will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So all these feasts together are called Epiphany, because God was manifested to us. He is our Savior. He is God, perfect divine, and he is human, perfect human. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He came to save the Jews and came to save the Gentiles. So today, actually, we have two manifestations. The manifestation of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God. But there is also a third manifestation that was revealed to us today, beside the manifestation of the Holy Trinity and the manifestation that Jesus is the Son of God. The third manifestation, that Jesus is the Messiah. The word Messiah, Al-Masih in Arabic, means the chrismated one. Christ is short for chrismated, the anointed one. So the word Messiah, Al-Masih, Al-Mamsuh, Christ, the chrismated one, the anointed one, all these words are synonymous. So he is the Messiah. So if we say he is the anointed one, who anointed him? And why he was anointed? He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained on him to anoint him. Do you remember when he entered the altar, the temple, the synagogue, and they gave him the book of Isaiah to read? Then he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." Then the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Today this is fulfilled in your ears." In the psalm that we pray in the third hour of the Agbiyah, "Fada qalbi bi kalamin salih." In this psalm, we read, "The Holy Spirit anointed you more than your companion. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of joy more than your companions. لذلك مسحك الله بزيت الابتهاج أو زيت البهجة أفضل من رفقائك." And this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the second question, why he was anointed? In the Old Testament, they used to anoint the priests, the kings, and the prophets. And it was impossible in the Old Testament to be king and to be a priest in the same time. Why? Because priesthood was from the tribe of Levi. And kings of Judah were from the tribe of Judah. So you cannot be priest and king in the same time. But the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed today by the Holy Spirit to be the king, or to be manifested to us as the King of Kings, as the High Priest, and as the Prophet with capital P. Do you remember they asked him, asked John the Baptist, as you heard in the Gospel of today, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No." Then they asked him, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ?" He said, "No." Then they asked him, "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." What does it mean, "Are you the prophet?" Because Moses told them, the Lord God will raise from you, from among you, a prophet. So they were waiting for this prophet. But they didn't know that the prophet and Christ is the same. That's why they asked him, are you Christ? Are you the prophet? But Christ, the chrismated one, our Lord Jesus Christ, was anointed to be the prophet, the high priest, and the king of kings. Prophet. Prophet usually declares message from God to the people. Like Moses, like Elijah, like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. God gives them message to deliver to the people. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read that God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. But now he is speaking to us through his son. And actually you heard today in the gospel, no one has seen the Father. The Son who is in the bosom of the Father has revealed him to us, told about him to us. So when the Son reveals a message from God the Father to us, then he is the prophet. He declared to us the mysteries of God the Father. Who declared this? Actually, the Son. So that is his prophetic ministry. And as high priest, he offered himself. He is the high priest and he is the sacrifice. He offered himself on the cross. The high priest, his role to offer sacrifices in order to intercede on the behalf of the people, on behalf of the people. So if the prophet is delivering message from God to the people, then the high priest delivering message from the people to God. And Jesus, our high priest, actually is standing by his own blood in the holy of the holies, in the heavenly places, interceding by his own blood, as St. Paul explained in his letter to Hebrews, to intercede on our behalf. By his own sacrifice, by his own blood. That's why all the charges against us will be dismissed if we ask it his intercession, if we believed in him, if we came to him confessing our sins and asking his forgiveness. Then all the charges against us will be dropped. But also, he was anointed not only to be our high priest after the order of Melchizedek and our prophet, but also to be our king, the king of kings. And when we speak about the kingdom of Jesus, I want to bring to your attention the St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he spoke about the kingdom of the Son and the kingdom of the Father. He said the Son should reign until all the enemies will be submitted under his feet. After that, the Son will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. He became our king on the cross, as we say in the psalm, the Lord reigned on the wood, رَبُّ مَلَكَ عَلَى خَشَبَ. His kingdom started on the cross when he bound Satan and when he actually rescued Adam and all his children from Hades, and he established the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now every person who is baptized, he is renouncing Satan and joining the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say He is our Lord, God, Savior, and King of us all. This is the millennium. We are not waiting for millennium because the millennium started already since His crucifixion. So, He will reign until He will defeat all the enemies. And the last enemy will be defeated, as St. Paul said, will be death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When death is defeated, how death will be defeated? In the resurrection, in the general resurrection, when all of us will be raised, then death is defeated. Then the Son will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. And here, the kingdom of the Father, He restored the kingdom to God the Father. That's why when we pray in our Father who art in heaven, and we say in the future tense, thy kingdom come, we are not speaking about the kingdom of the Son, because the kingdom of the Son already came and started, was established 2,000 years ago. But when we say, thy kingdom come, لِيَأْتِ مَلَكُوتَكَ, this is about the kingdom of the Father. The full restoration of the kingdom to God the Father. So today, actually, Jesus was manifested to us as the Christ. Christ is title. His name was Jesus. But Christ is title. So He was revealed to us as the chrismated one, as the Messiah. So today actually is a big feast because three revelations we are celebrating today. The first revelation or manifestation, the Holy Trinity. God is triune God. Second manifestation, that Jesus is the Son of God. And third manifestation, that Jesus is our Savior and our High Priest, our King, our Prophet. He is the chrismated one. He is the Messiah. How can I benefit from this? Actually, these three manifestations are very important to our spiritual edification and growth. Knowing that God is triune God, then He is a relational God. Relational God. Which means I can easily enter into a relationship with God. But God became Son of Man. So Jesus, this man among us, He is Son of God. Because when we marry Him, He's a bridegroom. When we are one with Him, we'll be children of God in Him. So yes, God is relational God, triune God, and we can enter into a relationship with God. And what kind of relationship? Will be the bride of the Son and the children of God the Father and the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abides in you. And He is the chrismated one. All the charges against me will be dropped because He is interceding with His blood on my behalf. All the mysteries of the Father will be revealed to me because He is the Son of God. He is my prophet. And also, He came and made me with Him king and priest. He made us with Him kings and priests because He is the King and He restored us. He delivered us from the kingdom of Satan, kingdom of darkness, and He transferred us into His own kingdom. So on this feast, let us glorify Him and praise Him and give thanks to Him in order, because He revealed to us that God is triune God, relational God, that He is the Son of God, and He is our prophet, our high priest, and the King of Kings. طرح على إنجيل قداس عيد الغطاس المجيد. وفي تلك الأيام جاء يسوع من الناصرة إلى اليهودية، ورأت الجموع مجده في الأردن، إذ كان يقول السابق المعمد للشعب: هذا بالحقيقة حمل الله الذي يحمل خطايا العالم. وأتى الحمل الغافر الخطايا إلى الأردن ليعتمد من يوحنا مثل بقية الأتين إليه. فامتنع يوحنا قائلا: إني أنا المحتاج أن آتي إليك وأنت تأتي إلي؟ فأجاب ربنا يسوع المسيح قائلا له: لماذا تمنعني يا يوحنا؟ إرادة أبي والروح القدس ومحبتي للبشر أتوا بي إلى الميلاد، ودعوني أيضا إلى أن أنزل إلى العماد، وقوتي العظيمة هي التي جذبتني وصيرتني طفلا، وهي أيضا جذبتني لأنزل وأعتمد منك، فلن يضرني حضن المعمودية أكثر من ضيق البطن، ولن تظلم علي مياه الأردن أكثر من الجوف. إن كنت تظن أنك تكرمني بامتناعك عن عمادك لي، فكان ينبغي لك أن تمنعني عن الحمل والميلاد. أيهما أحقر، موضع ضيق البطن في الجسد أم عظمة المعمودية؟ إن كنت قدرت أن تمنعني عن أن ألتف بأقماط، فامنعني عن العماد. إن كنت قدرت أن تمنعني عن مص الحليب البسيط، فامنعني عن النزول إلى الينبوع. لو كنت تقدر أن تمنعني عن الحلول في بطن مريم العذراء، لكنت أيضا تقدر أن تمنعني من حضن المعمودية. والآن سرت وأتيت في طريق الميلاد لكي أكملها، فكيف يمكن أن أرجع عنها؟ فلهذا يليق بي كما إني أرسلت من عند أبي أن أكمل طريق البر. ولما فرغ السيد من كلامه ليوحنا، ارتعب هذا من ابن الملك وسجد له، واعترف برهبة وتضرع قائلا: أنا أطلب إليك يا سيدي، لأني لا أستطيع أن أتقدم إليك، وضعيفة هي الحلفاء من أن تمس اللهيب، إذ كيف يقدر القش الضعيف أن يمسك بلهيب النار، أو الشعلة أن تقرب الجمرة؟ كيف أضع يدي على رأسك وأعمدك بالماء يا معمد الكل؟ حينئذ أجاب السيد قائلا له: كف يا يوحنا عن السؤال، وكن هادئ البال، ولا تقل شيئا عندما تعمدني. تعال وضع يدك فوق رأسي، فالآب يقر هذا من أجل ابنه. فتعال أنت إلي وابسط يدك فقط علي، وبغير كلامك يشهد الروح علي بالحق. حينئذ تقدم يوحنا ووضع يده على رأس اللهيب، وصفوف الملائكة واقفون مندهشون بالرعب العظيم، والقوات مبهوتون بما كان هناك من الحيرة والدهشة، لأن يد اللحم لم تحترق من الذي حجب السيرافيم وجوههم من شدته. وفوق رأس الخالق وضع يوحنا يده اللبنية الغارقة في الطين، فأمسكت بسيدها ولمست رأسه دون أن تحترق. قول مدهش يستحي منه النورانيون: ومن عاين عاين ابن العاقر، نزل يعمد غير المرء من الملائكة، محمولا من الكاروبيم ومستورا من الصفوف، ممجدا من الكراسي، مخوفا مهيبا من كل المراتب السمائية، ومستورا تاركا أوهام جميع الأجناس حائرة والقوات خاشعة والكراديس فازعة والأبواب راعدة واللهيب قائم ناحية الترعاب ونسل يتعمد من يد التراب وجبلت يديه. ولما اعتمد مخلصنا من يد يوحنا انفتحت له السماوات وصرخ الآب على حبيبه. قامت الروح البهية تشهد على الابن الوحيد وخرج الصوت من قيطون المملكة. استحركت الكلمة الخفية بغير فم لتشهد على حقيقة اللاهوت ورعد الصوت من السماء من غير لسان متجسم على حبيبه المتجسد. ولم يتكلم في ذلك الوقت بلسان ملك أو بشر بفم روحاني، بل تكلم مع أزليته عن ابن سره لما صعد من الماء قائلا: هذا هو ابن الحبيب الذي به سررت، فاسمعوا له. والصبح لله دائما، لإلهنا المجد الدائم إلى الأبد، آمين.